by the Love
Talk Radio.
You're walking down that tired of living life on the merry-go-round. You can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we can walk it out. We gon' walk it out. Ooh, all day. And all I
love. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, good evening, and hello to all of you folks across the country and around the world. Whether you're listening live or you done caught it on the rebound, I'm glad that you've been able to tune in. Yes, it's time to rise up one more time from our grief and from our loss and put on our ears, our thinking cap, open up our hearts, and tune in to Dr. Tametra Clark, who's going to take you on a powerful journey this evening. Good evening, Dr. Clark.
Good evening, Dr. Brown, and good evening, good afternoon, good morning, depending on where you are joining us from. Thank you again for supporting us as we continue the conversation on grief and loss, a topic that can be very heavy, an experience that carries a lot of weight with it, but an experience that does not have to cripple us and keep us from living again, because what we do know is that life does not stop. Life cannot stop. It must not stop. But how we choose to move forward in life makes a difference. And so I hope that in our time together that there is something said that can be just a beacon of light in someone's life to give them some encouragement and motivation that they can live again in some of the most darkest, challenging times of their lives. So, Dr. Brown, we have been talking about the last couple of weeks. We have been having conversations back and forth about anticipatory grief. People have been writing in with their comments and their concerns about grief. And I remember bringing up a couple of weeks ago that just because you do the work does not mean that life does not bring you the blows and that the blows stop coming. And I think at that time I talked about having two experiences in my family back to back, one being a young man and one being older uncle slash cousin of mine in Texas, and how I felt for his loss, but for his wife, who now had to redefine herself after 63 years of marriage to this person. And is that something that she will really want to put the time and effort into redefining who she is so that she can live again? And I think I also mentioned that what we find a lot of times in older couples and people who have been together for years and who have been in close relationships with one person is that sometimes they do kind of lose that sense of wanting to start over and wanting to live again and wanting to continue to live, which is what happened with my grandmother. Once my uncle and my grandfather passed away, she was like, well, what am I here for? It didn't matter that she still had her girls, you know, and that she had grandkids and all that. It was just that the connection, because remember we talk about grief and loss being a matter of the heart and that it's relational, right? And so the impact is relative to the relationship that you held with all the labels that that loved one had connected to them to you. So for my grandmother, all those labels were such that she's like, I'm not going to take the time to kind of redefine these and try to figure out where they go now. I'm just going to go where they are, right? And so ultimately that's what she did. Well, here we are finding ourselves back in that same situation. And so because of the age, what I believe 88, 89 years old, that's a pretty good life, a life well lived. And when over half of that life is spent with one person that you have defined yourself with, it's really hard to try to now navigate a world without them. And even though we say in our minds, well, we kind of know it's going to happen, still nothing can prepare us for when it does happen, right? And so the feedback has been, oh, my God, we kind of figured it would happen, but just not this soon, right? And so that brings us to another space in this whole aspect of grief and loss, right? Because now you have that anticipatory grief where, okay, we kind of know it's going to happen at some point. How do we prepare ourselves for it? So you have that, and now you have the cumulative grief because this is a loss on top of a loss, right, in a relatively super short period of time. And now you have to have your antennas up so that it doesn't fall into a complicated or chronic grief situation that can become very concerning, right? So as of right now, complicated grief has not been recognized as a mental health diagnosis in the DSM-5, but if you look at it in the DSM-5, it's under what's called conditions for further study. So it's getting there. And so we want to be careful that in these times where we are dealing with these back-to-back losses, that it does not turn into something that becomes a clinical condition that we need to deal with, much like the depression that we talk about in those stages of grief, right? So we talk about depression as being normal in the time of grief and loss and something that we know that people are going to experience and go through, and we don't consider that the same type of depression as your clinical depression that is in the DSM under your mood disorders, right? However, again, if it's not monitored, if it's not managed, if it's not addressed, then it turns into that clinical depression. And so the same thing with this complicated grief and the cumulative grief, we want to kind of keep an eye on it, right? And so now that we found ourselves back in this situation, and more so for the children, they had two boys, things have changed. And so we're part of the family who was able to go to the services, like her sister, who's a first cousin of ours. They just got back on Saturday. And then before they can unpack their bags good, we get the call that now she's gone. So now I'm trying to switch gears. Okay, now everybody has to get back there. Can you give us just a little time? And because they are where they are in their grief, they're like, nope, we're going to do this thing and we're going to get over with. And so where emotions are riding high, I have to keep them in remembrance of, and I haven't been able to have this conversation yet with some of the family members that remember the same event has taken place for everyone, but the experience is personal. And so how the children choose to address the situation is their experience. And it's not to be taken personal as a personal offense by anyone else, but understanding and coming from a place of empathy and not sympathy, that is their experience, and we must allow them the permission and the grace to experience their experience the way that they need to, which may feel inconsiderate, which may feel like, well, why are they doing this? Which may feel like it's not right, but it's their experience. And so they must be allowed to have that any way they choose to have it. And once they're better able to manage their emotions, then you have those conversations with them at a later time. But while they're in the heart of it, while they're in the thick of it, while they're in the meat of it, we've got to give them a grace to have it the way that they need to have it and come from a place of understanding and a place of support. Even though it may cause on the other end some strife and some challenges and some hardships, because now we have to try to figure out how we can accommodate and be there and do this and do that, we've got to let them have their experience. And so for me in that, it's looking at that, understanding that, and now hopefully being able to help others see that we've got to give them space. It all goes back to giving them their space and allowing them the permission to grieve their own way, to experience the emotions that they're going to experience everything that their mind and body can manage and can adapt to at that time, and to feel safe in how they choose to do it and not feel attacked or belittled or criticized for having the experience their own way. Because within 2 weeks, week and a half of resting dad, now we have to do this for mom. So in their minds, the faster we do it, we can close this chapter. In the minds of those on the outside, well, why are they doing this so fast? Because it's their experience. And whereas it might close the door on some being able to share in that moment, now it becomes everyone else's responsibility to figure out how they can embrace that loss and live their lives with intention and purpose to honor that loss and to do what that loved one would want them to do. And in the case of who this loved one is, I think everyone should have a pretty good idea of what they can do to honor the loss, because an extraordinary person she was and will always be in all of our minds. And so I'm hoping that if they can keep that as their focus, and not so much the stuff of the situation, that they will be able to live life with intention and purpose and honor, not just her, but also her husband and them as being one and making that happen. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes a whole lot of sense. I think you put that together extremely well. We're going to take a quick commercial, and when we come back, because we want to make sure that we know that for some strange reason, our show is going to be ending 15 minutes earlier than we would have liked to. And I just want to thank the folks who have called in from area code 5393-4722. Our shows normally will be 30 minutes. I have no idea what the technical difficulty was, but we know certain things happen. Dr. Clark, we're going to need you to go ahead and close this out for them, okay? We only have a moment.
Okay, as we take our deep breaths in and we exhale, to find meaning in continued living, I must open my heart and invite God in. He is there, waiting, patiently waiting, day after day. It is my openness to God that transcends my grief and transports my soul. Until next time, give yourselves room to grieve. Have a good night.